You're listening to The Nancy Skinner Show. The Tom Hartman Show is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Muslims are apparently being urged to attack Americans and Jews in an audio-taped message allegedly from Osama bin Laden's top aide. That tape was aired on the Arab television network Al Jazeera. The voice on the tape reportedly says Americans and Jews only, quote, understand the language of the murder, bloodshed, and of the burning towers. He also urges his followers to turn the ground beneath the feet of the enemy, quote, into an inferno. That tape surfaced less than one day after the nation's terror alert level was bumped up one. There have been more violent clashes now in the Gaza Strip after Israeli tanks and bulldozers invaded the town of Beit Hanun. New Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas was due to visit that town, but he has now canceled his trip. Israel's Foreign Minister Sylvan Shalom says the latest military incursion is in response to a recent increasing number of Palestinian bombing attacks, and he warned Abbas to do more to stop those attacks.
Mohammed Abbas has to take immediate actions against terrorism. He has to stop the violence and stop the incitement. Otherwise, Arafat and Abu Mazen will be more of the same.
President Bush has also urged Abbas to curb terrorism, and he's actually considering a possible trip to the Middle East in order to salvage the latest proposed peace plan. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan says sufficiently low inflation rates plus the, quote, quick conclusion to major fighting in Iraq has helped curb anxiety over the nation's economic health.
The start of the war and its early successes, especially the safeguarding of the Iraqi oil fields, were greeted positively by financial and commodities markets. Stock prices rallied, risk spreads narrowed, oil prices dropped sharply.
Greenspan made his comments testifying on Capitol Hill before the Congressional Joint Economic Committee. He notes the price of gas has fallen now to what he calls at least more normal levels, and he expects to see that trend continue at least for a while longer. However, he cautioned it's too soon to make a firm judgment on economic activity following the end of hostilities in Iraq and the, quote, current underlying strength of the real economy.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
It appears officials in both the House and Senate have now reached at least what they're calling an understanding on a final tax cut package totaling $382.8 billion. House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Bill Thomas said the measure follows the outlines of a $550 billion House-approved bill that lowers the top rates on dividend taxes as well as capital gains to 15%. Those tax breaks are so far set to expire at the end of 2009. President Bush, though, is promising to return to Congress during the interim and fight to make them permanent.
Honey, what's for dinner?
Hot dogs.
We had hot dogs last night.
Mm-hmm.
And for breakfast today.
Yeah.
And lunch.
I'm playing the French's Mustard Instant Win game. Every bottle has a giveaway. You can win $50,000 instantly or tons of great stuff from Six Flags.
Well, French's is my favorite mustard.
Now it's even better.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. All claims must be postmarked by 12/31/03. Must be legal U.S. resident 18 years to enter. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or www.frenchesfoods.com for details. Nothing cuts the mustard like French's.
A woman who has now admitted giving birth to three babies whose bodies were found in an Arizona storage locker has now been charged with murder, currently being held in a Sullivan County, New York jail. Sullivan County District Attorney Stephen Lungen says authorities actually knew about one child's death they investigated back in 1989 when they found the child's body in a suitcase in the back of a car.
These three babies, following their birth and after their death, she put in boxes and retained those boxes, and wherever she moved throughout the country, those boxes went with her, where eventually they were put in a shed in 1992 in Safford, Arizona.
Diane O'Dell, who's originally from Pennsylvania, had lived for about 7 months in Safford, Arizona, where the bodies were eventually found. She contends the babies were actually born alive, but then mysteriously died within hours. Arizona authorities had determined the infants all died in New York State at some point during the 1980s, and they have now handed over the entire investigation to authorities there. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, running whitewater rapids. What a thrilling spring sport. In a raft. But in a car, it's a ride that may literally take your breath away. When I come back, I'll bail you out.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
No one intentionally confuses cars for recreational rafts. But if you find yourself in a stream of late-melting snows or heavy spring rains, remember the kid's toy, a pogo stick. P-O-G-O. P, pop seat belts, after you go in water, because they protect you on impact. O, open the window quickly, especially if you have power windows. G-O, get out. No explanation necessary. So make sure your whitewater adventure is with a guide and a paddle. Heed warnings of washed out roads. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia on www.ieamericaradio.com and radio and rebroadcast on radiopower.org from 5 to 7 Eastern Time. Welcome to our program. We've got a lot to cover today here on the Democracy Zone. We're going to start out talking about talk radio. Left, right, in between. We call this program Common Sense from the Radical Middle. I guess that kind of muddles it up. But I wrote a piece for commondreams.org yesterday or the day before. I guess it was the day before yesterday they ran it. And reporting on the fact that Clear Channel, the media monolith in this industry, has announced that they're going to, or they're considering, looking at, quote, liberal talk show hosts for their programming. The vice president of Clear Channel made the point that he felt that this was a niche, just like country western is a niche in music, and another niche would be, say, rock and roll sort of thing. So we got a few responses from readers to this thing. Some emails that came in. This is from Harry Thompson in Tucson, Arizona. Great news. Bring it on. Will it fly, let alone get off the ground? Stay tuned. The irritant of these leftist liberals is their dependency on a conservative sidekick, a.k.a. Hannity or Buchanan. If liberalism is as great as Combs and Presco proclaim, then let them get their own shows to spew their leftist venom and watch them fall flat. As it is, they're just parasites hanging on to conservative coattails. And Jim Newsyard says, I think it's hilarious that liberals want to combat Russia's lies, even though you can't pinpoint what it is he's lied about. Excuse me, Bush's lies. I hear all the time some liberal accusing Bush of lying, yet I have yet to hear what he's lied about. You know, you can disagree with someone without calling them a liar. You know, congressional Democrats made all kinds of predictions about the war, which have all proven to be false. Why haven't you accused them of lying? Why is it you guys aren't concerned with the lies that Clinton told? Oh, it always comes back to that. Lies, lies, and more lies. They lied all the time. Even when it didn't matter, they lied. But Bush is the one you're concerned about. It sounds to me like he can't handle the truth, and that's what you want to combat. Blah-de-blah-de-blah. He says, I predict your radio adventure will go down in flames. Anybody who wants a liberal spin on the headlines can tune into TV. The fact that there is no liberal talk radio to combat Rush Limbaugh is a little something called the free market. Simply put, there's no market for liberal talk radio. And then he says, I predict you will block me from contacting you because since liberals can't win a debate with a conservative, you just shut us out of the debate. I also predict you will keep conservative callers off the air of your radio program, blah, 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 blah. Well, he apparently wasn't listening yesterday. Well, and then Jack Tiggleman says, well, not to belabor the point, but who the hell wants to hear a bunch of whiners complaining about the rich that way off the backs of the poor? Or how unions help America. Who wants to hear that? You will never match Limbaugh's audience or have the biting wit of Neil Bortz. And Alan Combs, sheesh, I listen to him when I have insomnia. And then he says, to sum up, and then he throws an obscenity at us. And Joe Jones, he doesn't say where he's writing from. I just read your article. What a hoot. Here's the problem, Tom. Progressive liberal left-wingers have nothing to offer this country. And he goes on from there. If you're going to be on the air for hours a day, you have to have ideas. That's right, ideas. Apparently no Democrats have any ideas now of any kind. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we are. That's interesting. Anyway, we have as a guest in this hour a noted journalist, Tim Caprison, who has been writing a media column since 94 for the Milwaukee Journal. He's written, he's been on the Larry King Live program, the Phil Donahue Show, Comedy Central. His coverage of the 96 Democratic Convention with Al Franken he participated in. He was formerly a reporter with the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
For having me, Tom.
And am I pronouncing your name right, Caprison?
Caprison's right.
Great. Tim, you wrote an article called Four Reasons Why Liberal Talk Radio Will Fizzle. And by the way, if any of our listeners would like to pop in and say hi, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Tim, if you don't mind, before we get into this, we do have a call from Tim in Hartford, Connecticut. Tim, in the other Tim in Hartford, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
There I am. Yeah, I'm very concerned about it, probably for the same reason. I haven't read your author's concerns, but I think that one of the problems I see right away is that oftentimes a large conglomerate will put on what I call kind of a weak, sad sack Democrat that isn't, you know, as really progressive as a lot of people would really like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who's just constantly apologizing for Clinton or for the Democrats and not necessarily putting forth a lot of true progressive ideas, I think is not going to appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah, kind of the pet liberal or something like that.
Yeah, oftentimes when they do this crossfire Democrat versus Republican kind of situation, the Republican is, you know, generally much stronger, much more forceful. Also, I think the idea of getting a lot of liberals who've been essentially tied to national public or puppet radio, as I call it, you know, getting them back, you know, from that kind of format into a commercial format, it's going to be very difficult because
Right. People
have the longtime habit of listening to that kind of soft blather news that doesn't put forth a lot of very interesting ideas on public radio. So
Great. Getting
something challenging on a commercial station will be difficult.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Okay.
Tim in Hartford, Connecticut. I appreciate your comments. Back to Tim Caprison. Tim, you wrote an article, Four Reasons Why Liberal Talk Radio Will Fizzle, suggesting that this just ain't possible.
Well, I think your caller actually touches on one of the main reasons why, and it's the tone of the argument that usually comes from the liberal side. It's not black and white enough to be successful in your face radio.
Yeah. Have you listened to or watched Crossfire with Bogala and what's his name, Carville?
Well, Carville is one of the people I suggest would work.
So then it could work. It's just that
the
people
work.
Haven't
It could
haven't
work,
come out
but generally,
of
I don't think Alan Combs, for example, on Fox, who I think is a great guy, does a great job, he makes good points, he's just not as forceful as people on the right are.
Well, wouldn't you expect that on anybody who's on Fox?
Well, you can make that. You can debate that, but I mean, Fox is as conservative as Fox may or may not be, and I think obviously it is conservative. It's interested in arguing, and it's interested in dramatic television and fireworks.
Well, they also have, you know, I mean, the Fox television news was put together by the Roger Ailes. I mean, who was the campaign director for Bush and
Reagan.
That's not
I'm not arguing with that fact. However, they like fireworks. They like yelling and they like screaming.
Sure.
Which is really what this is about.
But they're not getting that from Alan Combs.
Right.
They've got a nice, quiet liberal that they can kind of keep in the corner. And, I mean, you know, Alan is a good guy and he makes good points, but he continually gets crushed, stepped on by what's his name, Hannity.
Right. Well, name six others like Carville who have that kind of in-your-face attitude.
And Mike Malloy, Peter Werby, Nancy Skinner.
Well, Nancy Skinner, you know, I listen to Skinner and Ski Anderson, who do a show on WLS in Chicago, which we can get. I'm here in Milwaukee. We can get that on Sundays. And you're right, and it is very much like conservative talk radio. And I first, I want to get on the table. My point is not that liberalism, and I'm using these terms because those are the terms in the debate. I think that the world is much more complicated than talk radio paints it. But they have divided the world into liberals and conservatives. And as you talk, you talk about the slogan of your show, you're in the middle. I believe in this country there really isn't much of a left of any power in this country. There's a middle and there's a right. You know, there are not a lot of people pushing for real radical social change. There's people in the middle under these sort of...
Well, I'm pushing for radical social change. I just consider that to be the position of most Americans, even though that position is what people on the extreme right would call left.
Well, but the point is that the people on the extreme right call anybody from, you know, mainstream Americans to the left, the left. Anybody to the left of them is the left, and they have, I think that has helped put the debate in this country sort of off kilter. You're a conservative or you're a liberal. Well, a lot of the people who are not conservative are not liberal.
Right. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And we're talking to Tim Kaprison of Milwaukee Journal. Tim, do you have a website that we can point people to?
Yes, our website is jsonline.com, Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com. You can find my column by scrolling to the bottom of that page and clicking on my name.
Great. And, Tim, you suggest in your article here that there already is liberal radio. Can you explain that?
Well, you can make a case that National Public Radio serves the purpose of liberal talk radio. It's not as in your face and as the conservative variety of talk radio. And that's one of my main points here is what talk radio is black and white discussion. And I'm not talking about your show specific. I'm talking about the genre as it is most successful around the country. It's a black and white look at very complex issues.
It's the judger versus perceiver.
Right.
Thing.
It's strong personalities. And it's aimed at a specific audience, mostly males of the demographic of 35 to 54. That's who the talk radio, political talk radio audience is.
But Tim, I don't think that it's either fair or accurate to say that NPR is progressive or liberal radio. First of all, if you go to fair.org, the Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting site, they did a really good statistical analysis, and this is not a case let's have some skewed numbers or something. I mean, they just did a count. Who were the commentators during the 3 weeks of the Gulf War and the weeks leading up to it? Who were being interviewed? Who were the voices that were being heard? And the numbers are absolutely amazing. The vast majority of people who were being interviewed were white male Republicans.
Well, but that's the power elite in the country. That's the people who run the world.
When you look at the last year, you find that it's mostly white male Republicans that liberals or progressives were dramatically underrepresented. We're talking not half the time, not a third of the time, not a quarter of the time, not even a tenth of the time, but more like 3% of the time.
Where do people who would define themselves as liberals, where would they be comfortable tuning into these days? And I know anecdotally from talking to a number of them that they do feel at home listening to NPR, and they obviously don't feel at home listening to Rush Limbaugh.
They're completely different genres.
But when you're talking about how people listen to radio, the other thing about public radio is that they do present, I believe, they do present many sides of an argument, which is something that is more in the sort of traditional liberal mode of thought. The problem is that often makes boring radio.
Do you think NPR is boring?
I do. I think it's sleepy. Mm-hmm. And that's the point about talk radio. And I'm talking about it not because I believe what they're saying is right, but I'm judging them by their commercial success. And that's what I'm doing. I'm analyzing the radio industry. The radio industry is not going to invest in a mode of communications that's going to put their listeners to sleep.
Well, I guess time will tell. Tim Caprison, thank you very much for being on the program.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
The music tells us our segment is up here. Tim with the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal. Talk radio, liberal talk radio, does it have a future? This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
When I was 12, my father was killed in an industrial accident at a
vacant lot
where he worked. My mother insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to get an education. So she took a job waiting tables at a
parking garage
to support us. She worked double shifts, and on her break, she would pick me up from
the highway on-ramp
and drop me off at the big
office building.
And I'd spend hours and hours just reading books. I remember every Saturday we'd have breakfast at the
parking garage.
And I'd tell her what I had read. And her eyes would just light up. Because she knew I'd end up in college, not working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Little
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one.
And they all look just the same. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. And we're talking about, will the emerging Democratic majority mean an emerging Democratic talk radio marketplace? Jody in Arlington Heights, Illinois, has some thoughts on this. Jody, welcome to the program.
Hi. Well, first, your guest, Tim, you know, he's doing exactly what I think that talk radio for liberals will be forced to do. But his only good point, as far as I was concerned, was the fact that they would get some wishy-washy person to be the, you know, of the show host.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of people that aren't that, and they have a variety of people that they could use that will not do that. However,
yep.
You know, he's setting up a hoop. Oh, they only work well if they have a foil who's a, you know, a Republican or a right-winger.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. I mean, that's really not true. I listen to all the shows that you named, and that is not the case. The people are forceful. They're And if he wants forceful and in your face, here, what a crack that he said. That's all I got to say on that. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I agree with you, Jody. I absolutely agree with you. In fact, the point of my article and the earlier article that I wrote for Common Dreams called Talking Back to Talk Radio, which came out back in December of last year, was that conservative talk radio emerged as a unique niche. You know, we had sports talk, which arguably was the beginning of talk, although you could go back to Father Coughlin, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of sports talk, once the Fairness Doctrine was ended in 1986, in 1987, Rush Limbaugh came along, and it took him a year or two or three to really get some traction, and he had, you know, some good backing that kept him going. He started out with 60 stations and no sponsors. He was, you know, somebody was paying for that. And eventually he created a marketplace. He did a really good job of doing that, creating a marketplace.
Right.
And people were listening, it's as if everybody had discovered rock and roll, and suddenly everybody's saying, well, the only kind of music out there is rock and roll, because that's the only kind of music that's being played. And then the conventional wisdom becomes, well, only rock and roll can succeed on the radio. And then someone comes along, and they play country western music, and they discover, hey, there's people who want to listen to country and western. And so then you have this bifurcation, this splitting apart, where you've got now two unique market niches that you can serve separately by separate programs. And I think that liberal or progressive or even centrist talk radio hasn't been successful in the United States because it hasn't been tried. It hasn't been tried because, you know, it's time hasn't come. It's here now, I think.
I mean, I agree with that. And part of it, too, is I think also, I mean, all the things that, like, a Rush Limbaugh does, you know, people can do. I mean, it's okay for them to do it, but it's not okay for a liberal to do. It's whining if a liberal does it. If he does it, it's good commentary. And not only that, it's not only the differences. You know, people will look and say, here's your opinion. I mean, I have heard, the people that you had write in, the letters that, you know, where has Rush Limbaugh lied or Bush lied? I mean, come on.
Right.
They lie all the time. And it's been documented.
Yeah.
And you can document Rush Limbaugh's lies every day.
And there
have
been books
written
about it.
There's an guy here, Eric Zorn, used to do it in his column on a regular basis. I mean, it's in Chicago. It's ridiculous that they don't lie. But it's okay. Because the way he presents it is like, oh, gee, folks, I'm just your good old uncle that lives next door. And yet he's still confrontational, and you can still do that. I don't see any reason. What my biggest concern is, like Clear Channel, for example, okay, you're a liberal talk show host. Are you going to obey the order to not play the Dixie Chicks when that comes up? I mean, there's the trouble.
This is a very real concern.
You're not going to, probably, unless you really want to keep your job. You're going to say no. If you have principles, you're not going to do it, and you're going to get canned. And then everyone will say, oh, it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why the only liberal in mainstream radio is a very tame guy is because he's working for a network that I think keeps a tight chain on him. Jody, good on you. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. Kodak in Cincinnati, Ohio, we have just a minute or so here. We can hang on for over the break if it's a longer point. Welcome, Kodak.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Kodak, I'm sorry. We're coming up on the break here. I misjudged by 30 seconds. Hang on. We'll be back in just a minute or two, and we'll continue, Kodak, with your conversation, your comment about the pitfalls of talk radio. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick around with us. We'll be right back.
you're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. A first stab at a new contract for 19,000 workers at Goodyear tire plants across the country has failed. Negotiators for the United Steelworkers of America, which represents the workers, say the company's first offer calls for several thousand job cuts and wage and benefit concessions for those employees who survive. The current contract expired last month, and while the workers have authorized a strike, the contract is being extended day by day while negotiations continue.
Professional boxers may soon have a shot at union representation. A new division of the Teamsters Union called JAB, the Joint Association of Boxers, seeks to win an industry-wide collective bargaining agreement that would bring guaranteed health insurance and pensions to boxers. Promoters are expected to argue that fighters are independent contractors and therefore not entitled to union representation.
During the school year that just ended last month in Japan, sixth grade students were supposed to have classes on patriotism added to their social studies curriculum. But a survey of Japan's 24,000 elementary schools finds fewer than 200 actually followed the government mandate. Japan's main teachers' union slammed the patriotism initiative, saying it harkens back to a time when a heavy dose of nationalism helped the country set off a world war.
Walmart's war on workers has so far kept unions at bay in the United States, but the United Food and Commercial Workers Union is one step closer to organizing a Walmart store in Canada. This week, the Labor Relations Board of the Canadian province of British Columbia ruled that Walmart broke the law in its bid to keep a store in the city of Quesnel union-free. The Labor Board has ordered store managers to read its ruling aloud to employees, and it's also ordered the retailer to set aside a half hour of company time for union organizers to address employees on the benefits of unionization. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, everybody. Doug Steffen here.
The Peter Werby Show.
I warned you, but did you listen to me? Oh, no, you know, didn't you?
Weekdays from noon to 3 and rebroadcast from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Something completely different.
The Mike Malloy Show. Weekdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Just listen.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
This is great.
Our producer has a sense of humor. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We have Kodak in Cincinnati, Ohio on the phone, and after Kodak, Jeff in Denver, Margaret in Marion, Illinois. Kodak, welcome to the program, and sorry to have truncated your call there before. What was the point you wanted to make?
My point is, first of all, one of the reasons why we haven't had the left-wing talk radio before, because as a country and a nation, we didn't necessarily need it, because there was always a format in order for our opinions to be heard. But now that because of polarization and also the extremism in the United States now, we can see that there are not as many outlets available for the expression of free speech.
And, you think it was, before it was on a lot of local small stations?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You know, there were at least avenues if you needed to get the word out, you could. But
there still are. I was on a show day before yesterday in the morning, the Bud Beck show on a station down in Florida, 9 to 10 in the morning, and he had me on as a guest. I do guest things because I write these books, and so I'm often on the people's shows. They're all over the place. So anyhow, Kodak.
Yeah. And one thing about that your caller he does the same type of thing that the other right wing hosts do. He just stands there in the corner waiting. Not even taking into account all the facts that you gave. He didn't even acknowledge the statistics that you gave.
Yeah, I agree.
And he didn't substantiate his argument with any points. He just said he went on his conclusion on a particular genre, which he kept it pretty mainstream in order to prove his point, and once again not offering up any statistical data or facts to go along with his assumptions.
And for him to say that
NPR is boring just shows how his lack of intelligence. Because yes, it's not in your face, but they give a point of view that evidently is meeting a niche market. Because most of the support that goes to public radio is funded by the public, even though they have large corporate sponsors also.
Well, maybe he thinks it's boring because he's comparing it with, the spit and vinegar of regular, talk radio where people are getting in fights. So, Kodak, thank you very much. I appreciate your call and appreciate the point of view. Jeff?
One
last point? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say the reason why I really enjoy your show, because I listen to all the others also on AE America, is that you give statistical data something that a person can really latch on to in order to give a convincing argument when he's talking to other people. And I've also read Michael Moyer's book and Greg,
Pass.
I think his name, Greatest Money, The Greatest Democracy Money Can Buy.
Yeah, that's Greg Palast. He was on the show.
Right. So, and we are doing what we have to do, and that is get the word out in a logical, even toneness, because we cannot appear to be like the right, because that would make us no better than them.
I agree, Kodak, and I thank you for your comments and for your kind comments about the program, and I'm right there with you. Jeff in Denver, Colorado, has some thoughts on people on the radio and the decisions they make. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Jeff.
I define a professional as someone who's learned the limitations of a business rather than the possibilities. And I happen to associate with a lot of radio professionals and often talk to them, say, well, why don't you do this? And they always say why it can't be done. They say, it hasn't been done before isn't the most common thing. And that's what so many professionals do. You can't do it this way. You're supposed to do it this way. Professionals typically have been put in a box.
Yeah.
And they've allowed themselves to. They're not necessarily creative. They follow what has been done before often.
Right. And there's a herd mentality there out there, in not just in the radio industry. I mean, this is just endemic in business in general.
Yes, just in general. But, of course, if you look at the overwhelming successes in any industry, generally, it's the people who did not follow the marketing group study and so forth. They didn't follow the focus groups. The Beatles didn't do that.
Right. Yes, break out of the mold. Do something original. Jeff, do you remember that quote from Walt Whitman that Robert Kennedy liked to recite?
Not off the top of my head.
My recollection is something to the effect of, some people look at what is and ask why.
Yes.
I look at what is and ask what could be and ask why not. I'm sure I'm mangling the quote, but I think that's where we need to go. Jeff, thank you very much for the call.
Can I mention one other quick thing?
Sure.
Another thing that they do in studying, they study radio listeners rather than non-listeners.
Right, they're not looking at potential market.
And all the people who left radio. I used to listen to regular commercial radio 10-plus hours a day. I don't listen at all. And they're not studying people like me. There's a huge audience, just like non-voters. There are more non-voters than voters. Those are the people you got to get in to win the elections. Same thing with getting a radio audience.
There's huge potential marketplace out there, and that's the point of my articles. And I think that the people are recognizing that. Jeff, thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much. And then, in fact, that was the point that the vice president of Clear Channel made on Saturday at this conference in New York. Margaret in Marion, Illinois, wants our definition of progressive. Welcome to the program, Margaret.
Yeah, Yes, I've just now, our radio station has changed to your program, and I'm a conservative,
wonderful.
But I want to know what your definition is of progressive, and sounds to me like it's very socialistic.
Well, that's a good question. And Margaret, how do you define socialism?
Too much government power and interfering in too high a taxes.
Well, let's just take these one at a time. Too much government power, for example.
For example, interfering in too many regulations for businesses and this kind of thing.
Okay, so if there's a company in your community that is, say, pouring arsenic and strontium into the air that can poison you, you don't think that we, the people, should regulate that company?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that.
Okay, what regulation do you think is excessive?
The fact that you can't burn paper and things like that. But the main thing, the government is putting out these chemtrails that are poisoning anyway.
The government is putting out chemtrails?
Yes.
You're talking about those white things up in the sky?
Chemtrails, yes.
Right. Those are from jet airplanes, aren't they?
No, they're things that's being sprayed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Some of them are. If you ever notice that the jet, some of them go away immediately, others stay.
Yeah, I'm a pilot, and I always, what I learned was that's a function of how much the temperature and the relative humidity of the atmosphere. Sometimes those carbon dioxide and water, mostly it's water vapor, what you're seeing coming out of the back of a jet engine, because when you burn hydrocarbons, you produce carbon dioxide and water. And that if the air is really cold and not real dry, you'll get a residual water vapor stream, and if it's very dry, it'll evaporate very quickly.
That's not the case. No.
But I think, Margaret, we're trying to define here what, you know, the conservatives are against. See, I think that all of us can agree that we want our communities to have police departments and fire departments. Do you agree with that?
Yes, but you're not
okay.
Answering the question
and,
about...
Sure, and we want to pay for that with our taxes.
Yes, but you're still not answering the question.
I'm getting there. And so paying for something that we collectively agree is something that we want with our taxes voluntarily, isn't that socialism by your definition?
No.
Why not?
Because you levy the taxes that do what is needed to be done.
Right. But who decides what needs to be done?
The government paying for everything for people that we have now, the immigrants, the illegal immigrants that come in and get
mm-hmm.
free services, while the American citizen sometimes can't pay and can't have medical services. This
right.
kind of thing.
So do you think an American citizen should have medical services?
So that the one party or the other can have so many votes.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you.
The legal laws that we have for immigration have been thrown aside, and our country is in jeopardy because of this.
I don't deal with
issues like that.
I don't?
No, I've never heard you yet.
Well, I'm trying to right now. Let's take, for example, you said that illegal immigrants are getting health services and Americans who work are not. Do you think that Americans who work should get health services?
Americans, but we need to get rid of all the illegal immigrants.
Okay, but isn't America, well, okay, we'll, let's say for the moment that we agree on that point. I think that there's some shades of gray in there, but let's talk about the Americans and the health services. Should Americans have access to health care? Like Medicaid and Medicare, do you think that those programs are socialist?
Yes, they are, because they have raised the prices. The fraud that's in them has raised the prices so high that people can't hardly afford insurance. And if you made everything socialized medicine, the taxes would be a whole lot higher than they are now.
Well, let's take an example, Margaret. Did you know that... finish your point.
My point is this on insurance.
Uh-huh.
We have insurance, and our insurance won't pay for the lower things. We have a very high deductible. So when
mm-hmm.
you go to the doctor's office, what do? They take that amount off.
Right.
Because they over, they pad the insurance companies. They overcharge for all of it.
Right. So, okay. So it sounds like
we don't deal
like
with issues that are there. We just let the government run everything.
Right. So it sounds like we're being shafted by the insurance companies and not the. Not, did you know that Medicaid and Medicare? The Medicare has a 3% overhead. For every $100 spent on medical services in the United States that runs through Medicare, 3% sticks to the fingers of the bureaucracy that administers it. So it costs 3% to administer that program. Do you know how much insurance, PPOs, HMOs, and traditional for-profit health insurance in the United States, how much money they keep out of every $100 that flows through them?
But we survived. How did we survive without these things?
Well, I can tell you how every other industrialized country in the world survives without health insurance companies. They pay only the 3% that it costs to have these inefficient government bureaucracies, as you're defining them, administer the programs. But the health insurance companies keep $22 to $24 out of every $100. And the reason why they keep that, it still only costs them 3% to deliver the services, the same as Medicare. But they're keeping 22 to 24% because they've got to pay 10% out to their stockholders in profits. They've got to pay their CEOs hundreds of millions of dollars in salaries. They've got to pay for the corporate jets. They've got to pay for the corporate headquarters. They've got to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in advertising all on television. Margaret, we're being taken advantage of by these huge corporations who spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising and lobbying to convince us that a government program that only has 3% overhead is socialism and is bad. And that the corporate health insurance program that costs us, we're paying for it ourselves, 22 to 24% just for their profits, is good and noble. Don't you think we're being lied to, Margaret?
Oh, I agree with that. But I don't think the government, this is being done. I think it's going to get so bad that the government will take it over.
Yeah, I think it's moving that way, and I am concerned about it. In answer to your question in short form about what do I think, because we've got Peter in New Jersey on the line, too. In answer to your question about what do I think a progressive is, you know, I'm not really sure, and that's why I don't call myself a progressive. I say this is a program from the radical middle. I'm not sure what a conservative is anymore, either. There was a time in my life when I thought that I was a fiscal conservative, that I admired the perspectives of Eisenhower and Goldwater. There have been times in my lives when
it's the best. It only works if people are honest.
Yeah, and there have been times in my life when I've been very liberal, and I think that, for example, that we should have single-payer health care in the United States. I don't think we should have socialized medicine, but I do think we should have single-payer health care. Socialized medicine is what England has. Single-payer health care is what Germany has. I lived in Germany for a year. It works really well. And so, you know, what's a liberal? See, I think that this whole progressive or liberal thing is just a label that the corporatists, the people on the right who want to control our cash, who are trying to shrink our government down to the point where it will not be able to protect us from corporate bullies, that these people are trying to convince us that the government is the danger. The government is us in a democracy. In the USSR, the government was the danger. But in the United States, government is us. Margaret, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your calling in. I hope you call again. Peter in New Jersey, you wanted to talk about the viability of an alternative to Rush Limbaugh. Welcome, Peter, to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm great today, and I'll get better. How about you?
I'm great. I just discovered your program an hour ago.
Oh, my goodness. How'd you do that?
I think I was on the Hannity web board, where I will post as a liberal in order to fight the good battle.
Okay. Good on you.
I looked it up, and I found your number. But I wanted to call in, and you were talking about the viability of alternatives to, say, Rush Limbaugh or Hannity.
Right, right.
And one of your comments... I'm not sure who it was on before, but your expert said that NPR is boring. And I think part of the reason that people don't believe an alternative to those programs will work is because we Democrats, liberals, or progressives, or whatever you want to call us, tend to be a little bit more open-minded in regards to looking at all sides of the issue. With Rush Limbaugh and his ilk, they're preaching to the choir. They're preaching to people who have already been converted.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're much more rabid in their base, I would think, and the nature of the adherence to the ideology of the people that listen to them.
Yeah. There's been a debate for a long time that has suggested that one of the functions of talk radio is simply to help reinforce people's worldview. And then there's this other argument that says that one of the functions of talk radio is to actually change people's minds. And in fact, when Rush started out, he overtly was part of this whole giant conservative, whatever you want to call it. The Clintons called it a conspiracy. They call it, you know, the Limbaugh calls it a movement to change people from thinking that the government is we the people and that it's a good thing and that we decide for us how things should be and what we want, into thinking that the government of the United States and local and state governments are somehow terrible, bad things that need to be destroyed and strangled and killed off. I think that that's the destruction of democracy, frankly, and it's a very dangerous position. But he's actually been very successful in changing a lot of people's minds.
He's so been I think successful, that and he's been so successful, along with the entire, I would say, swing to the right, that they've now been able to make Pat Buchanan look reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. Pat Buchanan is starting to look like the middle. Thank you, Peter, for the call. We're running out of time on this segment. I very much appreciate your call, Peter, in New Jersey, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back after this break. Stick with us.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi,
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting all across the United States on terrestrial radio stations and on Sirius Radio, Channel 145, streaming on the web from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org. Our website is TomHartman.com. We have a chat room in there, and I've figured out how to get that thing, that window up live and on the computer in front of me. So if you don't want to call, but you want to pop in and make a note, that chat room will take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, where you just click the chat button, and you can post anything you want. We also have a message board there where you can post messages, and I'll read them on the air when they're appropriate to be reading on the air. Sometimes they're just discussions that people are having. You'll find a couple of thousand people there and tens of thousands of messages, all kinds of interesting stuff. Billy in Santa Cruz, you wanted to comment on the right versus left in the world of talk radio. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Billy.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Great to have you back.
You are the perfect example of what I see as the difference between left and right radio.
Okay.
Right-wing radio is about attacking liberals, not attacking their ideas, just sort of attacking them, you know, with ad hominem attacks. They're funny. Liberals, on the other hand, are thoughtful. They're actually trying to fix something, make something better, not just gain power. The right-wing's about power and put-down, and the left-wing, and you're like this, is about, you know, an intelligent look. Now, the problem with that, of course, is it's not as exciting. And the real problem is that right-wingers, because, again, they don't have the intellectual capacity, but they're funny, is that they always have a weak, you know, when we double them up, Tom, you have Hannity and Combs. Which one is the stronger of the two?
Sure, Hannity by a long shot.
His ideas are, his character and his personality are.
Sure,
he has a very...
Patrick
Buchanan and Bill Press?
I've never seen them or heard them, so I don't
know. Okay, Bill Press is this nice, calm... You know, lefty. He used to do Crossfire on CNN for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Patrick is a fire burner.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, I think it's a good point, Bill.
Billy, for example, has some chick who's supposedly a liberal, but she doesn't stand up to him.
Yeah, we're running out of time here, Billy. I absolutely agree with you, and I appreciate the comment. Thank you very much for calling in with that. I do think that it is possible to have interesting radio on both sides, and I also think that there are people on the right who talk about issues. I used to love to watch William F. Buckley on Firing Line years ago. It's all over the map here, and it's really about good programming. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick with us. We'll be back after the news. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back.
From the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
The Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werbe and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. An audio tape believed to be from Osama bin Laden's right-hand man is calling for Muslims to, quote, carry arms against your enemies, the Americans and Jews. In the tape aired by the Arab television network Al Jazeera, the man believed to be Ayman al-Zawahiri tells Iraqis they are not alone in fighting U.S. occupation, in his words, of the country. The message urges attacks on U.S., British, Australian, and Norwegian missions, companies, and employees, saying, quote, the crusaders and the Jews only understand the language of murder, bloodshed, and of the burning towers. There have been more violent clashes now in the Gaza Strip after Israeli tanks and bulldozers invaded the town of Beit Hanun, the latest incursion in response to a recent increase in the number of Palestinian bombing attacks. New Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas was due to visit that town. He has, however, now canceled that trip. The head coordinator between the two sides, Sufyan Abu Zada, says the Israelis actually continued their operations despite many requests to end them.
They refused. They insisted to continue their operations, as they told us, in the industrial zone. As a result of that, Abu Mazen decided to cancel his visit, or at least to delay it for the near future.
That tour was scheduled to allow Abbas and his security minister to survey the area surrounding Beit Hanun and hear residents' concerns. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan says sufficiently low inflation rates, in his words, plus the quick conclusion to major fighting in Iraq, has helped deflate anxiety over the nation's economic health. And he says all the latest economic reports point to a likely recovery.
Looking ahead, the consensus expectation for a pickup in economic activity is not unreasonable, though the timing and extent of that improvement continue to be uncertain. The stance of monetary policy remains accommodative, and conditions in financial markets appear supportive of an increased pace of activity.
Greenspan made his comments before a Congressional Joint Economic Committee. And the House and Senate have reportedly now reached at least an understanding, they're calling it, on a final tax cut package totaling $383 billion. The measure follows the outline of a $550 billion House-approved bill, lowering the top rates on dividend taxes and capital gains to 15%. Those tax breaks are set to expire in 2009.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allevert. New Allevert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allevert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allevert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allevert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allevert. Use as directed.
A Florida Court of Appeals has thrown out a $145 billion jury award given to a group of smokers who had sued some of the nation's largest cigarette makers. The court ruled the suit was wrongly considered class action first off, and the giant penalties are illegal under Florida law. Court opinion says, quote, the fate of an entire industry and of close to a million Florida residents cannot rest upon such a fundamentally unfair proceeding. The Agriculture Department is looking into if the nation needs to take additional steps to protect food industries from mad cow disease. The move comes following an announcement the U.S. is banning Canadian meat imports after a case of mad cow was found in Alberta.
John, there's some...
something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
As states now struggle this week to make sure their residents are safe with the terrorism alert level at its second highest level of orange, a Washington, D.C. area think tank is questioning the federal government's method for distributing its Homeland Security funds. That story now from reporter Don Andrews.
Researcher Tim Ransdell says the Department of Homeland Security sends more money than is needed to states like Wyoming and North Dakota and not enough money to New York or California. Ransdell says because of the formula used to distribute anti-terrorism money, Wyoming gets about $35 per person and California gets about $4.50 per person. Ransdell says that shouldn't be the case since New York and California have an abundance of potential terrorist targets.
When you contrast that with, say, the arguably less risk in Vermont, Delaware, Montana, North Dakota, I think it probably reduces California's preparedness somewhat.
Ransdell says the formula being used works well for education or transportation dollars, but shouldn't be used for Homeland Security money. I'm Don Andrews.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What did he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheel vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. I'm speaking for the radical middle today. The world's words right and left have become so abused by the neoconservatives that they no longer, in my opinion, have meaning. But the average person in America still does know what they want and what is best for this great nation. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, where corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working in middle and management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what you do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed, where people can work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of my program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism? Corporatism, the system that Mussolini invented. We have a couple of more emails here. Jim in Philadelphia just posted a message to our bulletin board on TomHartman.com. He said about our conversation from the last hour. He says, this brings an interesting dynamic to the tactics that the right wing likes to use. If Clear Channel has talk stations on the right and the left, Do you think that they will sit still for right-wing host orchestrating attacks on sponsors of the stations on the left? Jim from Philadelphia, the cradle of liberty. Jim, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I think that we're at a real transitional time in the United States. Kevin Phillips, back in 1969, in my opinion, correctly identified what he called the emerging Republican majority. And it has happened, and the pendulum has swung very far to the right, and we now have in power an administration that actually does not believe in government, that thinks government is a bad thing and should be damaged or destroyed. And so we're generating these huge deficits and these huge debts in order to cripple government. In fact, we're going to get into this a little bit in this hour. What is the real conservative agenda? On the other hand, we've got folks on the left who suggest that, I don't know of any, who are suggesting that we should just, you know, go to socialism or something. I don't think that there's anybody in the United States Congress who is taking those kind of positions. It hasn't happened since the 30s. But there are those on the right who say that that's what's happening. Anyhow, we've got I think that we are moving back toward the center, back toward a more rational point of view. Some of our emails, we got one, this is the story on media bias. He says, he was listening to right-wing, Republican white right-wing radio, what he calls. And he says, I came up with a plan and passed it on to my friends. I told them to listen to Rush and the others, and better yet, write down the name of the advertisers. I was shocked. Advertisers like major corporations, General Motors, Target, Radio Shack, were advertisers for these clowns. I got my friends to go to the website of these big companies and send emails to their marketing departments about the fact that the advertisers are getting cut out of half the listeners, potential listeners to radio. In other words, for every dollar GM spends on radio time in a huge market like Houston or Boston, they only reach half, that is the right-wingers, who listen to the message of Rush and his ilk. He says, I did this several times. At first, I got some lame notes that these companies were not in control of how media buyers spend money on radio in the markets, which is hogwash. He says, but after about 6 months of firing off letters, I am now getting letters from advertisers that suggest to me that they are starting to say to the radio stations and TV networks, hey, you better get some balance in here or we take our money out of your station. And then he goes on, this is L. Phillips, Lonnie Phillips. He says, if GM won't stop advertising on Rush, I will never buy another GM car or truck, and I've owned five of them in my life. Interesting. This is Michael Zakes. He says, I enjoy your article. Another possibility is that Clear Channel is floating this trial balloon to ward off criticism of the coming media hegemony. I can just imagine them saying in the Clear Channel boardroom, see, even though we're going to own everything, we'll still let people that don't agree with us on the air. Well, maybe. I really think that there is something to the marketplace. Tom C. says, Tom, I love your show. I wish when people talk about the Republicans and deregulation that they would remind those listening that the Republicans are actually for overregulation of the individual. This seems to run counter to the Constitution. And Lee in Fairbanks says, after discovering your web broadcast, I made an attempt to try to change things locally. I contacted the general manager of the local radio station. At first, he accused me of pretending to be a listener when I was really a network sales guy. I pointed out that my email address was local. When I suggested that he put liberal shows on, he commented with the following, you don't get it. It's about ratings. I scolded him for being unprofessional, Lee writes. He says, I replied by saying the following, it's like this. If you turn on the radio and all you hear every time you turn it on is static, you stop turning it on. It's not that static isn't popular, it's just I don't want to hear static. After a while, I stop going there because I know what's going to be there. I've been trained to that response. So, Joe in Altoona, Alabama, has a comment on corporate America. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Joe. Joe?
How you doing today?
I am great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I think that as far as corporate America, they've been playing corporation games for a while now.
Yeah.
Because I was raised up in a blue-collar family, and then when I was grown up, I've been blue-collar. And I see all the jobs losing because of companies not making profits. But they don't realize when they send work overseas or Mexico, wherever they send it, that, you know, they're putting Americans out of work.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Joe, Henry Ford was really a pioneer in this back in the early years of the 20th century. He was overpaying by the standards of the day, his employees. He started with a $5 a day pay scale. And he was very, very strongly criticized for this. But he came right out and said that he wanted his employees to be able to buy his product. And so he paid people enough money that they could actually afford to buy a Ford car. And it was incredibly successful, and it was the beginning of a real significant shift in thinking in corporate America, a shift that has only really been reversed significantly since the late 1970s. The earning power of American employees, the wage earning power, has dropped about 9% since 1973, whereas it steadily rose from the turn of the century. It dropped during the 3 years of the Great Depression, the first 3 years of the Great Depression. But outside of that, it has essentially steadily rose since around 1910.
So, well, you know, yeah, it's since they had the North American Free Trade Agreement,
right?
We've had a big steel mill shut down here, and you was talking about Henry Ford. When you buy a Ford car, that when they say it's made in America, they don't say which one.
Right, or which part of it. You know, the radio might be made in Malaysia, and the steering assembly is made in, well, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I think these CEOs and stuff, they think more about profits than they do about their employee.
Joe. I agree. We used to have, and Joe, thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate your calling. And we used to have in the United States laws in every state of the Union from the founding of this country in 1776 up until roughly 1900, the late 1890s, what was referred to as the charter-mongering era. Every state had laws that made it illegal for corporations to contribute money to politicians or to political campaigns. It was a felony in most states, a five-year in prison felony, for anybody representing a corporation to try to influence politics. Because after all, corporations can't vote. What are they doing in politics? It was a felony for corporations to work in ways that were harmful to the local community. Corporations lost their charters regularly. The first, in their article of incorporation, the first item had to be, this corporation is chartered to serve the public good. And then the second item was, and this corporation is going to make matchboxes or railroad cars or whatever. Here's an interesting quote. This is our quote for the day. This is from Adam Smith. Adam Smith wrote The Wealth of Nations. It was published in 1776. The founders of this nation were very familiar with Adam Smith. Here's a verbatim quote from The Wealth of Nations, Book 1, Chapter 11. To widen the market, this is Adam Smith, to widen the market and to narrow the competition is always the interest of the dealers, of the business people. To widen the market and narrow the competition. He said, it comes from an order of men whose interest is never exactly the same with that of the public, who generally have an interest to deceive and even to oppress the public, and who accordingly have upon many occasions both deceived and oppressed the public. Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations, the guy that amazingly, people on the right are continually quoting, even though The Wealth of Nations was a warning about the dangers of unbridled corporatism, where corporations become powerful enough to take over the government, the danger and the dangers thereof. And they are significant. There are some very significant concerns with that. So we have an alert for this hour. This is our neocon alert. What are the neocons up to? Well, urging Bush to make recess appointments. A recess appointment. This is a very interesting thing. And the conservativealerts.com, you'll find a thing where you can send an email to the president telling him to make a recess appointment. What is a recess appointment? In the Constitution of the United States, Article 2, Section 3, and I quote, the president shall have power to fill up all vacancies. Now, in the previous paragraph, they're talking about the judiciary. Okay, so this is judgeships and other quote, inferior officers. These are not the Supreme Court, but the lower judges and things. The president shall have the power to fill up all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate by granting commissions which shall expire at the end of their next session. In other words, Keep in mind, this dates back to 1887 when the Constitution was put together. 1787, excuse me. And when the Senate met for a few months out of every year. And so if during the recess, because people were basically volunteers, it was citizen statesmen, if during the long recess of the Senate the president had to act, then he had the ability to appoint somebody whose appointment would expire at the end of that session, at the end of now, I'm not frankly clear if this is the end of the senatorial session. I'm assuming it is. It would almost have to be, or the session of that person's job function. It would have to be the Senate session. So George Bush has the ability to appoint two judgeships, these federal judges that are bottled up in Congress right now. He has the ability to do this and get around the filibuster in the Senate. The problem is that the appointments will expire very, very quickly because the Senate comes back in and goes back out now very fast. But there is a movement on the right to push the president towards doing this and pointing out that he has actually done this several times in the last 3 years, but he's done it with fairly low-level jobs that although they were being opposed in the Senate, they weren't generating national controversy, so they ended up being relegated to the back pages of the newspapers, and you probably didn't know them. So this is our conservative alert, neocon alert for the hour. John in Long Beach, California wants to comment about the three greatest disasters in America in the last 50 years. John, we'll take your call when we come back from this break. Stick around. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We will be right back.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities, call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
You've got to love the Bushites' orchestration of Orwellian wordplay when they issue new edicts to gut the public interest. Instead of simply admitting that they're rigging the rules to further enrich their corporate campaign contributors, they use poll-tested phrases to make a negative sound positive, such as balancing environmental excess or modernizing outdated labor laws. These Orwellian phrases always cover up a gotcha. The latest example comes from the FCC, which is supposed to be our watchdog over the public airwaves. But Chairman Michael Powell is the lapdog of the big conglomerates that want to turn our airwaves into their private, for-profit plaything. He's now trying to ram through a rigging of FCC ownership rules that would let this handful of global media giants gain almost total control over mass-market news in your city and throughout the country. But rather than admit that this is a giveaway of an essential public asset, our airwaves, Powell plays word games. claiming that he's simply revising the rules of a bygone era. Well, if he means an era in which a diversity of opinions, local news, free-flowing information, and real competition existed on our airwaves, that certainly will be long gone under Powell's revision. For example, he wants to allow a single conglomerate to control the TV programming for 90% of the American people. He also wants to let a single corporation own the newspapers and practically all of the radio and TV stations in any city or in any number of cities. This is not the marketplace at work, as the Bushites claim. It's forced monopolization, and it will destroy any democracy on our airwaves and in our news sources. This power grab is so outrageous that Powell allowed only one perfunctory public hearing on it and plans to ram it through in a rushed-up vote. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight for a democratic media, call the Free Press Media Reform Network, 413-585-1533.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the Rest of Us. It's the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast, north to south. John in Long Beach, California, you have a comment for the show today. Welcome to the program.
How are you?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you, John?
Oh, hanging in there.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, the three, what I consider the three greatest political disasters in the last 50 years, and people could add to them or take away from whichever they wish. One would be the 1978 decision by the Supreme Court to give personhood to the corporations.
Right. In 1886, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad. It was a huge mistake. I wrote a book about that called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights, available in bookstores all across the country.
Right.
Yes, I agree with you.
Now, the second one would be, I consider it to be NAFTA, given to us by Clinton and the Republicans.
Yeah, actually, your 1978 one, the decision to establish corporations as persons was in 1886. The 1978 case was Boston versus Bilotti, which said that those corporations therefore have First Amendment rights of free speech and can give money to politicians,
that's probably the most important.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and so your second one, I'm sorry.
Political disaster
NAFTA.
Of course, the 2000 presidential election.
Selection, you mean?
The 2000 presidential election. That's the third political disaster.
You mean the Supreme Court selection of George Bush?
Well, the criminality of the people in charge of the Bush campaign in Florida and the Supreme Court, all of it combined.
Right. Oh, evicting 70-some-odd thousand registered voters in black neighborhoods from being able to vote during the 2000 and the 2002 elections, by the way.
Well, that too, right, because Kathleen Harris said that somebody questioned her about those people who were taken off the voter roll that shouldn't have been. This was just, I think, prior to the 2002 election. She said, oh, yeah, well, that was a mistake. They said, well, are they going to put them back on before the 2002 election? Oh, not yet.
Yeah, I was down there just after the 2002 election, and they were on TV talking about how Jeb had won by a whisker, as it were, and there were some folks from the black community who were on saying if we had been allowed to vote, he wouldn't have won. It's a very, very bitter and contentious thing that's going on down there in Florida.
Let me ask
very
you this,
unfortunate.
I mean, close it. What do you think is really behind this? All of a sudden, some people on the right say, okay, well, we'll give you left-wingers a little airspace.
Mm-hmm. What I think is behind it is the desire to make money, frankly. I've gotten several emails from people saying that this is part of a conspiracy theory. This was the point that one of the folks on our bulletin board made, that Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, it's possible that the folks at Clear Channel are saying, oh, gee, you know, it'll make us look better if we have a token liberal on. I certainly think that perhaps there was some element of that in Fox's decision to do what they did. But I think ultimately, really, they want to make money. They're corporations. They have to serve their stockholders. They have to make money. And there is demand in the United States for a broader worldview than that represented by the rabid right in radio. There's it's an unfilled market.
On Clear Channel, though, I would say this. I think the caveat in what they said was is that they did not give a definitive time when they would institute a liberal radio. You know, it's just like when we went into Iraq, we were going to give the government back over to the Iraqi people. Well, then we say, well, no, we won't do that for. We'll stay there for an indefinite period after all.
Yeah, I guess the devil's in the details, John. Thank you for your call from Long Beach. I appreciate your calling. We're up against the end of this half hour. Good point. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. When we come back after this break, we're going to talk about the real conservative agenda, what's going on in America. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick around.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the May Best Buys at Ace Hardware. If you're repainting a room, come in today and buy 2 gallons of Ace Royal Touch eggshell wall and trim paint at $16.99 each and get the third gallon free. Not only can the folks at Ace help you match over 1,400 colors, the Ace Royal brand comes with a 25-year warranty and is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of May. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
A military base in Wisconsin provides refuge for rare plants. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A 60,000-acre military base with firing ranges and thousands of troops seems an unlikely place to find rare plants. But Fort McCoy in Wisconsin provides habitat for 14 kinds of rare plants. Mark Leach is an ecologist at the University of Wisconsin Arboretum. Leach has studied the vegetation at the fort, and he published a report in a recent Michigan Botanist. He says military training at Fort McCoy protects the land from development.
Sort of incidental or almost accidental conservation. The land is not kept for the purpose of conservation, but conservation seems to be, for the most part, compatible with the military training that goes on there.
Leach says the military prefers to train soldiers in a natural setting. They keep the scenery wild by shifting war games around before the tanks and troops do too much damage. Leach says the ecosystem at Fort McCoy evolved with disturbances such as wildfires and mud pits where bison used to wallow. He says the native oak and pine savannas now depend on tank treads and bombs to create sunlit openings. That helps plants like the tiny flame flower.
It's actually kind of a wimpy plant. It's not a very good competitor. It seems to thrive in the places where the other vegetation is slightly disturbed. So it grows along the tank trails, and it grows in these places that are burned frequently, and seems to be highly successful there.
Leach says the military avoids sensitive habitats altogether. Fort McCoy has several cool water streams that support, among other things, a rare plant called bog bluegrass. Leach says it's not a very impressive-looking plant, but it's hard to find anywhere else. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Hopefully we can spread it around this great nation. Our chat room, link off TomHartman.com. If you go to TomHartman.com and click on the radio show, radio program link, it'll take you to the homepage for the program. And then there's a little link over on the side, on the left-hand side, one for the message boards and the other for the chat room. The chat room's in the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, which a friend of mine, Nigel Peacock in London, and I have been running for nearly 20 years, I think. It's been quite some time. And it's a nice, reliable little chat utility that we have used. And we've got four folks sitting in there. Bob, Finisher, Pokemon Pete, and Smoking Potato are screen names that they're using. And just a couple of quick comments. Smoking Potato says, I like the way you handle Margaret. You were nice to her, and I think that shows the difference between liberal and conservative radio. And I said, thanks. She deserves to be nice, too. She's a human being, and she wants what's best for our nation. I really believe that all of us ultimately are in that place, whether people identify themselves as conservatives, progressives, in the middle, whatever. We're all trying to make this the very best country this can become. The extraordinary ideal for this country is still alive and well. And I don't think it's going to die. I have great hope for this nation. You know, when Jefferson, Madison, and Franklin, primarily, these three guys got together back in the 1780s, they decided that the United States needed to have a goddess, that every other nation historically had had a god or goddess, and, you know, the Roman gods and the Greek gods and all these kind of things. And so they created a goddess for the United States. There's a 19.5-foot-tall statue of her on the top of the United States Capitol building. They designed 12 different versions of her, holding a staff with stars and stripes on it, holding a bundle of wheat, holding different objects that were representative of different aspects of the United States. She was on our coins right up until about 30 years ago. From the creation of this United States right up until just a few decades ago, she was on our coins. And the French made a statue of her and shipped it to us as a gift called the Statue of Liberty, and her name was Columbia. And she was they took the name from Christopher Columbus and feminized it, made it Columbia. They gave her own district, the District of Columbia. And they put her on our coins. They put her on the top of the Capitol building. And she was the symbol of liberty. And when in Tiananmen Square, when those marchers marched, many of them to their death, certainly most of them to their imprisonment, they carried with them a 36-foot-tall papier-mâché statue, a replica of Columbia, of the Statue of Liberty. They called her the goddess of democracy, which is what, in the founder's mind, she was. And I remember the chill that went down my spine and the hair on the back of my neck just prickled right up that day a few months ago when I opened the newspaper and saw the headline, Columbia Dies Over Texas. And I thought, oh, no, you know, this can't be. Sometimes symbolism is just downright spooky. Finisher says, I feel there's a big market. This is in our chat room here. He says, I feel there's a big market for other than neocon radio. I only listen to IE America. Without circus radio, I had to listen to sports or music in my car. And Smoking Potato agrees with him. And then Gepster comes in and he says, I truly appreciate the way you dealt with a conservative woman and her socialist comment. This is why I listen. You discuss and are not in love with your own voice, as so many hosts are, and you allow her to answer with some pushing. Thanks so much. We need discussion, not argument. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the feedback, by the way. These are the kinds of things that will help us make this show better. Pokemo Pete, I just found the show. Thank goodness. He says, thank God. Hey, Tom, if he doesn't make it through the primaries, your former Governor Dean would make a great talk show host. I think he'd make a great president, frankly. I think that there are several of the candidates there who would make great presidents. I've watched Howard Dean as the governor of this state. I'm broadcasting here from the People's Republic of Vermont, and I think he was a great governor. And he's even though most on the left call him a conservative, most on the right call him a liberal, therefore I think he's in the radical middle. Bob Finder says, hey, Tom, a thought. Could the sudden desire of Clear Channel to start a liberal radio station have anything to do with deregulation? Yeah, I think the timing has a lot to do with it. That was the point of my article in commondreams.org. And there's a few other comments there. I'm running out of my ability to read them at the moment. Back to our issue of the hour, the thing that I really wanted to get to here is what is the real conservative agenda? Here, I remember back in the 1960s. When Barry Goldwater was running for president in 1964, his overt, explicit position was that conservatism means we have a balanced budget, we don't spend more than we take in, we voluntarily and enthusiastically pay taxes for those things that we believe collectively this nation should have, for example, police, fire, strong military, social services to the extent that they're absolutely necessary. That was the conservative agenda in a there were some irrational parts of Barry Goldwater, in my opinion, as well, but that was and that persisted for a long, long time. On March 4th, 1997, this is just, 6 years ago, there was a vote to amend the Constitution of the United States. Now, you don't amend the Constitution of the United States lightly. It's a major thing to amend the Constitution of the United States. It requires, I believe, a two-thirds vote of the Senate and the House, and then two-thirds of the states have to ratify it. It is a huge thing. And this was a vote to balance the budget. Every single one of the 55 Republicans in the Senate voted yes. And 10 of the Democrats voted yes. The bill got 66 votes. It was one vote short of passing the supermajority required by the Constitution to have the Senate propose an amendment to the Constitution. A month later, I'm quoting this from the New Republic, the new Republic that just came out, the May 26th issue. This is the TRB column. A month later, Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah took to the pages of Roll Call, which is the publication of the Senate, to vent his frustration. He wrote, the Republican Congress had made a balanced budget amendment, quote, our first priority because continued deficits would devastate future generations, end quote. He said the congressional GOP, the Republicans in Congress, would never abandon the struggle, quote, Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, quote, for our nation's economic strength and sovereignty, and for our children and grandchildren, the proponents of a balanced budget amendment will be back again and again as long as it takes. What's happened to them? We just have this announcement in today's paper, the Associated Press. The government ran up a deficit of $201.6 billion in the first 7 months of the 2003 budget year, three times the total for the corresponding period a year earlier. This is the largest budget deficit in the history of the United States. $174.7 billion of this was simply a payment on the national debt. $174 billion. And that debt is getting larger and larger and more expensive every day. Now, when Orrin Hatch said that we shouldn't have this, we shouldn't be paying $174 billion over a seven-month period just in interest on the national debt, he wasn't alone. 50 out of 51 Senate Republicans and 218 out of 229 House Republicans voted. Well, actually, he was alone. This is how it flipped. Excuse me. So that was the situation then, 1997. Now we look at now. 50 out of 51 Senate Republicans and 218 of 229 House Republicans voted this spring for tax cuts that forecasters predict will plunge the nation deep into the red. This despite the fact that in 1997, every Senate Republican and 223 out of 226 House Republicans voted for a balanced budget amendment. And the only one who's still holding that flag is John McCain. So what's happened? The point that they make in this article in New Republic, which is this is the key to the kingdom. This is the thing that answers the whole thing. And Eddie in Alabama, you're on the line. Well, let me take your call in just a minute. Let me just finish this point. They say, quote, "The truth is that congressional Republicans don't primarily care about balancing the budget or stimulating the economy. They care about reducing the size of government." You can't really blame Republicans for wanting smaller government. It's what they sincerely believe. But you can blame them for pursuing it so dishonestly. They point out that when Newt Gingrich was doing his contract on America, they were gleefully cutting programs left and right. But when they went after Medicare, education, and the environment, environmental regulations, not, you know, burning paper in your backyard. We're talking serious stuff like mercury emissions into the air, things that cause birth defects and cancer. That when the Republicans went after these during the Gingrich Revolution, the middle class said, wait a minute, we want those government services. And so now what's happened is they've gone underground. They're creating a situation. What is the real conservative agenda? Corporatism. They're creating a situation where the government will be so crippled by its inability to operate because it will have these huge debts, and it must first service its debt. If the United States government does not pay that hundreds of billions of dollars a year in interest on the debt, then we're bankrupt. And it's not just Americans who are holding that interest. It's countries all over the world are holding that debt, the T-bills and T-bonds. It's countries all over the world, individuals and countries all over the world. It would bring about an international disaster if we defaulted on that debt. So what we have is a situation where rather than being upfront and saying what we're trying to do is whittle down the size of government and knock it out, take it apart. We don't think the government should be doing things. We think that's socialism. We don't think that the government should be enforcing environmental rules. We think that, as George Bush did in Texas, corporations should voluntarily decide what the standards are and should voluntarily decide whether or not they want to comply with them, which brought Texas the most severely polluted air in the nation. It brought devastation to the state of Texas. And still is, on an ongoing basis. George Bush cut taxes in Texas and created and took Texas. When he came into office, Texas had a budget surplus, just like the United States did when he came into office as president. He did two back-to-back giant tax cuts, and now that state has a $10 billion shortfall. So what have they done? They've eliminated 10,800 state jobs. Well, some people would say good riddance. Except that the lines at the Department of Motor Vehicles are suddenly very, very long. The courts are running very, very slow. The police are underfunded. The fire departments don't have the equipment they need. They've cut 250,000 poor children off the Children's Health Insurance Program. You say, well, they're poor. Tough. Tell them to go out and get a job. Well, you know, we could take that position. We could say, oh, the poor children's health insurance, that's socialism. But I'll tell you, I've worked in this field. For 5 years, I was the executive director of a residential treatment facility for severely abused and emotionally disturbed children in New Hampshire, the New England-Salem Children's Village. And I was working with kids coming out of the social welfare program. And when these kids are severely damaged and there's no intervention, they grow up to be the people who are going to mug you. If you want a decent quality of life, we need to be attending to our children. And we need to be attending to the kids who don't have the resources or whose parents don't have or can't or won't provide the resources to them. Texas has cut off 250,000, a quarter million children from their health insurance program, and 365,000, a third of a million people from health insurance through Medicaid because they can't afford to pay for it because of George Bush's tax cuts in Texas 5 years ago. This is how, you know, you destroy government by putting it into a fiscal crisis. They've cut prenatal care and delivery for 17,000 pregnant women. They've cut women with breast cancer and cervical cancer out. If you're a woman with breast cancer and cervical cancer and your insurance won't pay for it anymore, tough. You are on the streets in Texas. They closed a state school for the mentally retarded and a state mental hospital. Where are those people going? They're sleeping on the streets. And if you live in Texas, you've got to walk by them every day. There are reasons why we do some of these programs. They have to do with our quality of life. They cut $22 million from the criminal justice program that provides medication and treatment for mentally impaired offenders who are on probation or parole. If you've got somebody who went to jail because they were mentally ill and committed a crime, and now they're out of jail, they've done their time, and they're on medication that is controlling their behavior, they're not on that medication anymore in Texas. They cut $22 million in the criminal justice program that provides medication and treatment for mentally impaired offenders. And the list goes on and on. I'm reading from a column by Molly Ivins that was published in the Dallas-Fort Worth City, actually. Eddie has gone. I'm sorry, Eddie, my rant got a little over the top there. Will, you wanted to comment on corporate politics and fascism. We've got a minute or so left here. Welcome to the program, Will.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, when it's corporatism, that's just sort of a euphemism for fascism. I mean, we know that they have the false religionists on the right wing, which we know from Carlyle was the monarchists and the state church, basically, and right. The corporation. I mean, that's the fascist, the symbol of Rome, is when business and government, the military, religion, academia, all run by the same people. That's fascism.
Yeah, that was Mussolini's invention. He said fascism should be called corporatism because it's a merger of corporate and state interests.
Well, but, I mean, people say that it was Mussolini's invention, but the fascists were placed on the front wall of the House of Representatives in the United States Capitol right after the Civil War by the...
I think it had a different meaning then, though.
The Union Army was predominantly Roman Catholic. And when you see Bush's grandfather was Hitler's banker, and if you read Mein Kampf... You know that the reason you can't buy it in Germany is because it's so obvious who Hitler was working for. He was working for the papal aristocracy and the Catholic Church, and he says it in Mein Kampf. Anybody can read it and go to the bookstore right now and get a copy of it. And we know that his father, George Bush, effected the assassination of John Kennedy to keep us in the colonial fiefdom of Vietnam, which was 5% Catholic and who owned 95% of the wealth. The other 95% Buddhist were the slaves.
Yeah,
so
I know
this this is historical... pre-Mussolini fascism. Rockefeller.
Right. Will, I've got to ask you to wrap it up, Will, because we've run out of time in this segment here. But I appreciate your comments. I think we're dancing around the edges here of what is and what might be. I don't know the answers, frankly. But we'll talk about it more. We'll be back after this break. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network. And Will, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express lawsuit funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said,
At a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore. He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
yeah.
Stop.
A few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Rainy day people always seem to know when it's time to call. Rainy day people don't talk, they just listen till they've heard it all.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We have eight folks in our chat room right now. Maybe nine. I can't quite see. It's TomHartman.com. Click on the radio show link, and it'll take you to a page where there's a chat room link, which drives you into the international trade forum on CompuServe, and we're using the chat room in that place. We've been talking about corporate, and thank you for all the comments there. There's so much more than I can read. I do want to talk about the Jessica Lynch staged rescue. Somebody in the chat room says, what about that? It was on my list to talk about today. We haven't had time to get to it. We'll get back to it tomorrow. We've got some things. Are the conservatives willing to destroy the environment? I want to visit this issue tomorrow in the name of corporatism. Is it corporatism or democracy? What is the agenda? What is the future of America? What's the hope in all this? When I wrote Unequal Protection, I pointed out, as one of our callers did earlier, that back in 1886, the Supreme Court decided that human beings were not the only holders of human rights. Now, the founders had this very clear vision for this country, that human beings would have rights, and that whenever human beings got together to do anything, to create a corporation, to create a nonprofit, to create an unincorporated corporation, to create a church, to create a union, even to create government, that human institution would not have rights, it would only have privileges, and those privileges would be determined and defined by we the people, the holders of the rights. And in a bizarre twist, in 1886, the clerk of the Supreme Court wrote into a headnote, this was not even in the ruling. In fact, the ruling contradicts it. The ruling did not say this. But the clerk of the court, who was a railroad president and a former member of the very corrupt Ulysses S. Grant administration, racked by the railroad bribery scandals, this court reporter, John Chandler Bancroft Davis, wrote, corporations are persons and entitled to equal protection under the 14th Amendment. And this started the whole slide, took us completely away from the vision of the founders and pushed us in the direction of corporatism. There are people all across America who are working to reverse this. And on our website, TomHartmann.com, if you go to the Unequal Protection page, unequalprotection.com will get you there, too. There are links to all kinds of groups, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, Reclaim Democracy, who are working to change this. I think that there's tremendous hope for the United States. We can bring our democracy back. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Tom Hartmann on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for being with us.
Been listening to the Tom Hartmann Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartmann.com.